ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल मदर यशोदा बाइंड्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 4 and 5 as well. Okay. But let's see how the discussion goes, because I'm not sure if I'll be able to cover both verses, but I'll at least try my best for text 4. Tam stanyakama asadya matnantim जननीम हरिहि गृहित्वा ददिमन्थानम् न्यषेधत् प्रीतिम् आवहन् ताम स्तन्यकाम आसाध्य। मतनंतिम जननीम हरिहे गृहित्वा ददि मन्थानम् न्यषेदत् प्रीतिमावहन् ताम स्तन्यकाम आसाद्य। मतनंतिम जननीम हरिहे गृहित्वा ददि मन्थानम् न्यषेधत् प्रीतिमावहन् ताम स्तन्यकाम आसाध्य। मथनन्तिं जननीं हरिः गृहीत्वा दधिमन्थानम् न्यषेधत् प्रीतिमावहन्। प्लीज काइंडली चैंट। मतनन्तिं जननीं हरिः गृहीत्वा दधिमन्थानम् न्यषेदत् प्रीतिमावहन् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaye. Translation. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Please kindly repeat. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. It's a short purport. Sri Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother. Wanting to stop her from churning and desiring to drink the milk of her breast, he stopped her from moving the churning rod. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna. I think four has so much nectar that it'll be time up by the end. So if that's okay, I can just take four and focus on it. If that's okay. So then we have two options. Either I cover four and five and I skim on the top, or I take just four and go deep and we request the next speaker for tomorrow, if that's okay. Or else if you instruct me, I'll speak four and five. Either way is fine. Four and five, okay. Okay, so then I'll read text five as well.
Tammankamarudamapaya yatstanam snehasnutam sa smita ikshati mukham atriptam utsrujjajavena sayayo utsichyamane payasitvadhishrite.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately. And thus she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with the drinking of the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of the important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and then other things later. The proper intuition by which to do, this is given by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the path of absolute truth. Hare Krishna. Can I be offered extra time? Because it's very difficult for me to stop at 8:30 with text 4 was difficult, and now Kishori want me to add 4 and 5. So I'm going to be as dissatisfied as Krishna in this context. Okay, I'll try my best. So, by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it's another beautiful day, sandwiched between their lordships and the devotees, sitting with Srimad Bhagavatam. We have got, after so many transmigrations, we have got this rare human form. And we have wasted so many human forms not knowing what to do. After millions and millions of transmigrations in the human form, now we are at the right time, at the right place, with the right people, doing the right thing. So, I bow down and seek the blessings of all the devotees here, so that I am able to take the best advantage of the situation. And with your best wishes and heartfelt blessings, may the right words come at the right time, in the spirit of glorifying Sri Krishna and Mother Yashoda, in the spirit of purifying my heart, and may this endeavor bring some satisfaction and pleasure to the ears and hearts of the listener. Please accept my humble obeisances and please kindly offer your heartfelt prayers in that. Namo Namaha. So yesterday we were discussing about the beautiful form of Mother Yashoda's transcendental body, the beauty of Mother Yashoda. So today in the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, it unfolds from the form to the pastime. Mother Yashoda is absorbed in churning yogurt into butter for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. In this set of two verses, we find that Mother Yashoda, who is all by herself working in the early mornings of the early hours of Brahma Muhurta on the day of Deepavali or Diwali, is doing this hard work with sweat on her forehead for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And Sri Krishna wakes up from his bedroom, rubbing his eyes, comes searching for Mother Yashoda. He's accustomed to seeing his mother on the bedside as he wakes up, who's ready to pamper him and kiss him and tell him stories and put him back to sleep. But now he's looking around to the right, to the left, and he can't find his mother. So he rubs his eyes and out of hunger comes out searching for his mother. And as we know, he holds on to the churning rod that Mother Yashoda is using to churn. And in text 5 we find that it's Krishna who jumps onto Mother Yashoda's lap, desiring to drink the milk of her breasts. And Mother Yashoda puts him down, not completely satisfied, because she has to attend to the overboiling milk on the stove that she has collected painstakingly from the Padma Ganda cows of Vrindavan. So this is the overview of what's happening today. Now let's see what our predecessor acharyas have written in this context. I will just read a few points and then we will get into today's discussion. First of all, just understanding the words in this verse. The word tam, starting with the first word, refers to Mother Yashoda. So that's like a pronoun usage of she or Krishna's mother, the supremely beautiful all-attractive, loving mother of the Supreme Lord. This emotion is conveyed in the first word, Tam. Because the context is Shukadev Goswami has described Mother Yashoda extensively in the previous verse. And now you see that the syllables have dropped back to half each line. So there were 17 syllables in the previous verse, each line. And now they've dropped back to 8 syllables in this line, like a regular Bhagavad Gita verse. So if someone just picks up this verse, and if they don't know what the context is, Shukadev Goswami gives the first word, Tam. I'm referring to that Mother Yashoda, whose beautiful form I've extensively described in the previous verse. Because time and again, he cannot keep using Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. So he uses a pronoun here. An attractive pronoun, that is Tam, Mother Yashoda. The word Stanya refers to her breast, and the word Kama refers to desire. The word Asadhya means to approach, to reach out. So Krishna is Asadhya, reaching out to Mother Yashoda with the desire of drinking her breast milk. That's the words. Then we appreciate the presentation of the Bhagavatam much better. Then Matnantim Jananim Harihi. The word Matnantim refers to churning, the process of churning. The word Jananim refers to mother. And the word Harihi refers to Sri Krishna. So Sri Krishna's mother is absorbed churning when Krishna desires and approaches his mother with a desire to drink her breast milk. So this is the first two lines. At that time, what happens? Krishna has come out of his room. Grihitva. He puts his hand out, tries to hold on to something. What is it? Dadhi manthanam. The word manthanam refers to the rod. And dadhi refers to yogurt. So the rod used to churn yogurt into butter, that grihitva, Krishna held on to it with his hand. And why did he do that? Nyashedhat. He wanted to prevent Mother Yashoda from the process of churning. Why? Pritim avahan. Avahan means to express, to proclaim, to speak out. What? Pritim. Preeti means love. So Krishna wanted to speak out love without speaking. He wanted to express his love for Mother Yashoda, and therefore he put his hand out, grihitva, nyasheda, to prevent her from dadhimanthanam. He held his hand on the churning rod so that she stops churning. And who was he? Hari, he who takes away. So he's taking away Mother Yashoda's service at the moment. The word used is Hari. It's very beautiful. Shukadev Goswami could have said Krishna. And interestingly, Hari is two syllables. And the word Krishna is also two syllables. So if Shukadev Goswami would have replaced the word Hari by Krishna, it wouldn't have toppled the meter of the verse. It could have very well been poetically perfect to say Matnantim Jananim Krishna. It doesn't sound off. But then he says Hari. Oh, he who took away the only possession that Mother Yashoda had. And there are many more meanings which we'll come to when we start discussing. And Janani means mother. So the the essence of what's happening here is Krishna, Hari, Asadhya, he approaches whom? Tam Jananim, that mother of his, who was Matnantim, busy churning. Why did Krishna approach? Stanya Kama, desired her breast milk. And to express this, Grihitva, he held. What did he hold? Dadhi Manthanam, he held the churning rod. Nyashedat, to prevent, to stop her process. And in this way, Priti Mavahan, he wanted to tell his mother that he loves her and that she loves him, and then she should put aside the churning process just to pamper and play with him, express love. So this is the essence. Of course, I wouldn't be able to do the word-by-word analysis of text 5, because for one, it's not on the board, and second, it's a longer verse, so it's difficult for interaction with the time that we have. So so this is the basic, the pieces of the puzzle on the board. Now let's see what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami and Sanatan Goswami comment here. These are the three prominent acharyas who have commented. Srila Sridhar Swami hasn't commented on this verse. Interesting. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur focuses on tam and asadhya. Asadhya means to approach, and tam means she, the mother. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this verse is a very hope-giving verse for devotees. Why? He is saying that the devotees don't have to approach Krishna, but if they act in the right way, Krishna approaches the devotees. Just like in this context, it is Krishna approaching Mother Yashoda and not Mother Yashoda going out searching for Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would make a very famous remark, which our Srila Prabhupada would use in his letters as well. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada would say, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God wants to see us. And this is the classic context of that. Mother Yashoda as the devotee is not trying to go out and seek out Krishna, but she silently, in seclusion, is acting in such a way that it's increasing Krishna's curiosity and appetite to come out search for his devotee. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this context, he says that it is very hope-giving. This verse is a Eureka verse for devotees. That if I am not able to search for Krishna, that's fine. If I engage in the process of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and if I am trying with sincerity, with sweat and perspiration drops, even if I am all by myself, Krishna will come out searching for me. So at the moment, Krishna in our lives is sleeping in some bedroom. We are in the house of Nanda Maharaj of our existence, and Krishna is sleeping somewhere and we don't know where he is. But Mother Yashoda is not going around from one room to another to see where Krishna is. She is just busy performing devotional service, and Krishna gives up his sleep to come search for Mother Yashoda. So this is a very hope-giving verse that if we chant our rounds, if we serve Vaishnavas, if we perform the process of bhakti as given by Srila Prabhupada and the scriptures and Hari Guru and Vaishnava, then it is Kishore Kishori, if they are pleased, who will come searching out for us. Just like Krishna comes out searching for Mother Yashoda. So this is very beautiful. Now Srila Jiva Goswami, he focuses on two words. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur focused on Krishna approaching Mother Yashoda in the first line. Srila Jiva Goswami focuses on the second line. And he says, he takes the two words Jananim and Harihi. Hari refers to Krishna and Janani refers to the mother. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he comments that four things happen here in this verse. One, Krishna is generally never habituated to waking up early. He would sleep late. He would sleep early and he would wake up late. That was Krishna's policy. But interestingly, herein, Krishna decides to wake up early, which has never happened before. One. Second, he comes searching out for his mother. Three, he tries to hold the churning rod. And four, desires her breast milk. So there are four things happening here. Krishna gives up his sleep. Krishna comes out searching for his mother. Krishna desires her breast milk. And then Krishna is trying to hold the churning rod with both his hands. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, by these four activities, Mother Yashoda's heart and mind has been completely stolen away by Krishna. She's thinking, he who sleeps and wakes up very late has now woken up early because he can't find me around. Second, he goes from one room to another looking for me, and she can see that. She's churning, and Krishna walks around. He doesn't come directly to her. He walks around
different rooms and he's trying to figure out where the sound's coming from. So he is trying to search for her through sound vibration. So she's feeling so happy that she gave up Krishna while he was sleeping. But still Krishna wants her association and she's feeling very happy about it. Also for the fact the mother feels very proud of her child, that the child has become intelligent enough to understand which part of the churning process to hold. Mother Yashoda starts thinking to herself, Krishna could have thought of holding the churning pot, or trying to hold a rope, or try holding Mother Yashoda's hand, or try something else. But he was intelligent enough to understand if he holds on to the churning rod, the whole process stops. So Mother Yashoda has a smile to note that her child is becoming clever, because Krishna is only 3 years old. And as the mother, Mother Yashoda feels that, oh, my child is becoming clever enough to understand which part of the process is going to, if held, is going to stop the whole process. Also, Mother Yashoda has a smile thinking that my child is strong enough to not just desire holding the rod, but successfully stop me from churning. It's not that he's just holding on to the rod and she still continues and then Krishna is getting hurt and he's trying his best. No, he tries with both his hands, and as soon as he holds on to the rod and he pulls it towards his side, the churning process stops. So she has a smile that he's not just intelligent enough to understand which part of the churning process to hold on to, he's also strong enough to hold with both his hands and stop the process. And finally she feels that I am going around for searching for the milk of all the Padma Gandha cows, but my Krishna wants my milk. So she's thinking these four things, and Krishna has completely stolen away her mind and heart. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, therefore Shukadeva Goswami uses the word Hari. The word Hari means he who takes away. And in the second line, there's so many emotions flooding Shukadeva Goswami as a speaker. His heart is being overflooded. There's an explosion of emotions that he's perceiving. And because Mother Yashoda's mind and heart has been completely stolen away, in motherly love, the word used is Janani, mother, and the word used is Hari. He who has taken away my heart, he who has taken away my mind. And out of loving motherly affection, she is welcoming Krishna on her lap. So Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, the mood of mutual love between Krishna and his mother is being explained here. I want to ask a question here in this assembly. What are the other meanings of the word Hari? Mm-hmm. Or if you say he takes away, what does he take away? Yes, one, he takes away the obstacles on the path of spiritual life. What else? He takes away the heart, yes. Very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada quotes this very famous verse in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please repeat after me. Hari Shabda Nana Artha Dui Mukhyatam Sarva Amangala Hare Prem Diye Hare Man. Srila Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says the word Hari has many meanings, but the two prominent ones are the two prominent meanings that the devotees here have mentioned. One, he takes away everything inauspicious in our life, and two, he ends up taking our heart in divine ecstatic love. Apart from this, the word Hari also refers to a lion. The word Hari also means a lion. Just like we know the word Narahari. The word Narahari or Narasimha, Nara means man and Hari means a lion. So he who is half man and half lion is also called Narahari. Also our Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Gaurahari. Right? Gaurahari. Why? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also like a lion. He has golden complexion like a lion. He has broad shoulders and chest and thin waist like a lion. He has hair on his shoulder like a lion. He is born in the Simha Rashi or the Leo constellation like a lion. And finally, what does the lion do? It gets into the caves and roars loudly so that the hidden animals can leave the cave, and then the lion takes over the cave. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a lion who loudly roars the names of Krishna. And when he roars them in the cave of our heart, the elephant-like lust who are sitting in the cave of our heart leave the cave, and then this lion called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits in the cave of our heart. So in this way, this is the mood when we say Gaura Hari. Oh, lion-like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please let your holy name reverberate in the cave of my heart. So in this way, this is what Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says. Now Srila Sanatana Goswami is making a very beautiful point. He says that Srila Sanatana Goswami gives a different perspective. He says the word Janani here refers to Krishna's mood towards Mother Yashoda. He says that Krishna, out of his love for Mother Yashoda, was completely convinced that he is not God, but the only identity that Krishna has is that he is the child of Mother Yashoda. And therefore that mood of Krishna is exemplified in the word Jananim, referring to as mother in Sanskrit. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad here is making this point that Krishna would sometimes wake up early. But what would he do? He would slip out of the house and he would meet his friends outside in the street of Vrindavan, in the small gullies of Vrindavan. And he would meet his friends and they would come together and have a discussion which house is going to be plundered of its butter today. Because that was the time when everyone is off to sleep. So Krishna would make all his chalk out plans as to which house they're going to cross the house that they're going to go and attack that day. And that planning used to be done early in the morning. So many times Krishna would slip out of the house, but Mother Yashoda never caught him. She would always think he's sleeping in the room. But this was the first time, Sripad Sanatana Goswami explains, that Krishna had slipped out of the house, but then when he saw his mother was awake, toiling and perspiring for his pleasure, Krishna gave up his friends and said, "You guys decide where to plunder today. I am leaving your association to go and be with my mother." Sanatana Goswami Pad says this was the mood of Krishna. He gave up his own friends that day to go and be with his mother. So there are two camps here. One say Krishna came from his bedroom, and another camp says that Krishna was actually outside. He slipped in through the window and came from the bedroom. Like that. So this was the mood. He is coming to his mother because she is perspiring early in the morning. So these are the prominent commentaries. Now let's start our discussion. There are three things happening in this verse. First and foremost, Mother Yashoda is churning with the rope. That's one. Second, Krishna comes out to see her. And three, he holds on to the rod. Now, all three pieces of this verse have meanings and lessons for us as devotees. And we're going to discuss that as our class progresses. So the first piece for today. Why is Mother Yashoda churning with the rope? Churning yogurt into butter with her rope. That's the question. Why is she doing it? Of course, we know the reason, that she wants to make the best preparation for her Krishna so that he stops stealing, stops all his nefarious activities. But our acharyas also give a twist, a hidden meaning as to what is the lesson Mother Yashoda is teaching all of us. Now, just to explain this context, I want to draw your attention towards another pastime, and then I'll get it to this, so that we have the right flow. Let's put Damodar Leela, the flow of Damodar Leela, on the back of our head, and with our heart, let's move to the pastime where Balaram, he moves and flings our Dhenukasur by his hind legs on top of the tal tree. We know this very famous pastime where Dhenukasura was actually what animal? He was a donkey.
You're looking at me and saying a donkey.
It's quite easy when I ask that question. Just look at me, you get the answer. So Dhenukasura was a donkey. And he came charging towards Balaram, and Balaram with his very powerful, mighty arms, he flung Dhenukasura in the air, and he went and landed on top of the tal trees. And the trees lost all their fruits one after another, and they fell from one tree to another, and all the trees lost their fruits. So this is the description. But what is the hidden message? What is the hidden message? Let us attentively hear this message. It's very beautiful. One acharya, in his commentary, he compares the tal trees to the yogis, the meditative, contemplative yogis. He tries to bring in a similarity between their lives. He says the tal trees and the yogis in contemplative meditation have four things in common. One, both are in the middle of the forest. The contemplative yogi also sits in the middle of the forest. Or let's say he's there in the middle of the forest, and the tal trees are also in the middle of the forest. That's one. Second, both believe in silence. The tal trees are also silent, and the contemplative meditative yogi is also keeping the vow of silence. Three, both believe in standing tall and performing austerity. The yogi also stands on one leg and puts his hand up and meditates, just like the tal trees are performing. They're standing tall and they are in meditation. And four, the yogis don't live together, so which means the tal trees stand at considerable distance from other trees. So there's one tal tree there, and another tal tree here, another tal tree there. So the trees are all keeping their safe distance. So similarly, yogis also, they keep their own caves of meditation, individual. So these are four things common. One, both take shelter of the forest. Two, both believe in the vow of silence, both meaning the tal trees and the yogi. Three, both stand tall in austerity and meditation. And fourth, they give space to other meditators. The trees give space to other trees, and the yogis give space to other yogis. Now the acharya that I'm talking about, he says there's one more commonality, the fifth one. The tal tree associated with a donkey-like demon, Dhenukasura, and lost all his fruits. Which means a yogi, even after performing the first four points, living in the forest, keeping the vow of silence, performing austerity, and maintaining his distance and space from other yogis, if he associates with a donkey-like, wicked, demoniac, evil-minded demon, by that association, he would end up losing all the fruits of his meditation. To exemplify and to teach us this principle, the tal trees lost all their fruits. Is this clear? Is this understandable? Do I have to repeat myself? Is it understandable? Okay. That the trees lost their fruit, to teach us this lesson, that if you associate, even if you are in the middle of the forest like us, keeping the vow of silence and meditating, if you associate with a wicked-minded demon like Dhenukasura in your life, you will end up losing all the fruits of your meditation. So similarly, now coming back to this pastime, what is Mother Yashoda teaching us through this churning process? There's always a lesson hidden in all of Krishna's pastimes. There's a descriptive path and a prescriptive path. The descriptive path speaks about, yes, there was the churning process and Krishna came in and this is what happened. That's the description. But the prescriptive path teaches us the hidden secret, the message for us as devotees. So we know that in the 8th chapter, which means the chapter before this one, Mother Yashoda sees the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. That's the 8th chapter. This is the 9th chapter where she binds Krishna. But in the 8th chapter, on the pretext of eating some mud, Krishna opens his mouth and shows the whole universe in his mouth. And Mother Yashoda looks into Krishna's mouth but still doesn't believe that he is God. She still doesn't have faith. Now, the interesting point is, if Krishna comes and shows us the universe in his mouth, we would still not believe it, that he is God, because of lack of faith. We are envious of him. And therefore we would think, maybe I'm just dreaming, maybe it's just illusion, maybe it's just magic, maybe I'm just hallucinating. So we don't want to accept that he's Krishna, he's God, because of lack of faith. And Mother Yashoda doesn't want to accept that Krishna is God because of excess of love. Because if Mother Yashoda settles down for Krishna being God, then Krishna becomes a public property for all the mothers of Vrindavan. And Mother Yashoda, in her possessive love, wants to keep Krishna all for herself. And therefore, whatever, doesn't matter what Krishna does, whether it's dancing on the hoods of a slippery, dark, poisonous snake like Kaliya, or it's lifting a humongous hill like Govardhan in the little finger, the tip of his little finger of his left hand at the age of 7, or let it be showing the whole universe in his little mouth, still Mother Yashoda, because of her ecstatic extent of inconceivable, infinite love, doesn't want to accept that he's God. So the devotee, the commentator here, Sripad Harisuri from yesterday, he's giving the message what Mother Yashoda wants to tell all of us. In Sanskrit, the word guna, G-U-N-A, guna, what does it refer to in the Bhagavad Gita? Of course, the qualities, yes. Yes, the modes. Yes, perfect. These are the two answers. One, sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, meaning the modes of material nature. And second, as Prabhu explained, a rope. A rope in Sanskrit is also called guna. So Sripad Harisuri, he plays with this word of guna. He says, Mother Yashoda here saw Krishna's universe in his mouth, but because of lack of faith, back again in the next chapter, even after seeing the Supreme Lord, because of lack of faith, got indulged in the modes of material nature. Understand? So Mother Yashoda was not between the modes of material nature. She's transcendental. But Harisuri is saying that Mother Yashoda was engaging with the gunas, which means the rope. Meaning to say that if someone, even if they see the Supreme Lord face to face, and they see the universe in his mouth, but if they have lack of faith, what to do? They will end up again playing with the ropes, the modes of material nature. So in chapter 8, Mother Yashoda saw the Supreme Lord and his mystic potency, but because of lack of faith, let's say excess of love, in the next chapter, she continues playing with the ropes, the guna, meaning the modes of material nature. So Harisuri says, Mother Yashoda is telling the world that, look, in the previous chapter, Krishna gave me proof that he is God, but I didn't believe him, and therefore naturally I'm implicated playing with the ropes of material nature. So you don't do that. You have faith. To tell us this point, to give us this message outright, Mother Yashoda herein is with the ropes of material nature, or the gunas, the modes of material nature. It's a very beautiful, juicy point. Now, it's an interesting question. Is Krishna actually the son of Yashoda, or is he the son of Devaki? Both. Okay, any other answers? Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. So we have now two camps. One camp saying that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and at the same time the son of Yashoda and Nanda. With another camp, quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I must say that is correct. Like, that quote is correct. Srila Prabhupada does say that Krishna is actually the son of Yashoda. What do the other devotees think? Is Krishna Devaki Nandan or Yashoda Nandan? Is he the son of Devaki or is he the son of Yashoda?
Yashoda.
Yes, Srila Jiva Goswami Pada also in the Gopal Champu, he says that Mother Devaki did give birth to Krishna. Krishna appeared in front of her, but Mother Yashoda is the actual mother because of whose love Krishna immediately went to her. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very beautiful, funny statement. He says, I am not like the tongue of a snake where I can share one tongue with two ends. You see the tongue of a snake? It comes out, but it has two ends. It bifurcates. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I am not like a snake, the tongue of a snake, where I can share one Krishna with two mothers. For me, he is the son of Yashoda. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. But then the question is, then we say Krishna is Devaki Nandan. How do we understand this? So to which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from the Puranas, and Srila Prabhupada quotes that in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dve namni nanda bharyaya Yashoda Devaki iti cha. Srila Prabhupada quotes this in the 10th canto by saying that Devaki is of course no doubt the wife of Vasudev Maharaj. But at the same time, Mother Yashoda also has another name called Devaki. Mother Yashoda has two names, Yashoda and Devaki. Of course, we have Devaki Rani, who's the wife of Vasudev in Mathura. But Mother Yashoda herself has another name called Devaki. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when you say Devaki Nandan, well, I am referring to the second name of Yashoda. So whether I call him Devaki Nandan or Yashoda Nandan, I still mean that he's the son of Yashoda. This is the mood. So Mother Yashoda's love is ecstatic, and it's different from the love of Devaki. Mother Devaki, when she saw Krishna after 11 years, when Krishna came to Mathura to slam Kamsa Maharaj down in the wrestling arena, Mother Devaki got up and she was seeing her child, whom she last saw as an infant in the prison house. She got up and she saw Krishna and she was so ecstatic that she was running to embrace him. But it was Vasudev Maharaj who held her and said, let him finish the wrestling match. Don't let your motherly emotions come over in this scenario. Just sit back and relax. So Mother Yashoda was eager to embrace her child. But at the end of the wrestling match, when Krishna slammed Kamsa to death by the hair, by dragging him down with his mighty arms, Devaki was completely convinced that this child of her is actually the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, it's impossible for him to do what he did. It's impossible for him to fight Mushtik and Chanur and all these mighty Planet Fitness gold gym wrestlers who are like well built. And Krishna was like just a thin, skinny, beautiful 11-year-old child. And still Krishna could slam all of them to death. And Mother Devaki, she was convinced that Krishna is God. So at the end, now when Krishna came to embrace her, Mother Devaki stood with folded palms. And she, in fact, it's described, she offered prayers to Krishna. And Balaram looked at Krishna and he was frowning because seeing the drop of Mother Yashoda's love. That she was in Vatsalya Prem, motherly affection, but with one display of Krishna's opulence, she came down to servitude. But in Vrindavan, it's not one display of opulence. Krishna displays his innumerable opulences every day. And not once does Mother Yashoda's motherly affection fall down to servitude. It just goes higher and higher and higher and higher. When she opened Krishna's mouth to see if he had eaten and swallowed dirt, and she saw the whole universe in Krishna's mouth, instead of being completely flummoxed, thinking that how is this possible? Maybe he's the Supreme Lord. She ended up thinking, this naughty boy, I thought he just swallowed dirt, but seems like he has ended up swallowing the whole universe. This was her motherly love and affection that she could not believe and share Krishna with anyone. So therefore, the love of Mother Yashoda is higher in comparison to the love of Mother Devaki. Mother Devaki and all the associates of Krishna outside Vrindavan, with one display of their opulence, they all fall in mood to servitude. Even Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, who started off thinking that Krishna is just a chariot driver, Krishna displayed his universal form once, And Arjuna sang in the Bhagavad Gita, Saketi matva prasabam yaduktam, He Krishna he yadava he saketi, Ajanata mahimanam tavedam, Maya pramadat pranayena vapi, Yachavaha sartama satkritopi, Vihara shaya sana bhojaneshu, Eko tavapya chuta tat samaksham, Takshamaye tvam aham aprameyam. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is falling flat on his knees and telling Krishna, Krishna, please forgive me, I didn't know you're God. I have committed so many offenses against you, I've called you names, I've even mocked at you publicly. Sometimes you're honoring prasadam and I've taken the plate away thinking it's enough, you're overeating now. And now I see that I was actually just making fun of myself. I'm an insignificant jiva and you're infinite. Oh Krishna, please forgive me. Now this is one opulent display. And his friendship falls to servitude. And in Vrindavan, Krishna shows his opulence every day to all his friends. And the friends are looking at Krishna. And they speak to each other and they say, you're trying to impress us, but I think you can work harder. You can do a better job tomorrow. So they are not impressed by Krishna's opulences. Their love for Krishna just goes higher and higher with the display of opulence. So this is the first thing. Mother Yashoda's love is so sky high that it never shrinks with any display of opulence. So why was Mother Yashoda playing with the ropes? The rope in Sanskrit is referred by the word guna, and guna also means the modes of material nature. So Mother Yashoda is teaching all of us that if you even see the whole universe in Krishna's mouth, but if you don't have faith that he's God, you will again end up in the next chapter of your life playing with the three modes of material nature. To show us this lesson, Mother Yashoda was using the rope. So this was the first piece of today's puzzle. Now let's move to the second piece. It's described that Krishna came out of his room. Now this is so beautiful. Why did Krishna come out is the question. Our acharyas never get tired of asking the question why. They're always analyzing. Why did Krishna do this? Why did Krishna come out? Why did Krishna close his eyes when Putana came in front of him? Like Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book gives 21 reasons why Krishna shut his eyelids when Putana came in front of him. So Srila Prabhupada gives extensive reasons why Krishna did that. So the acharyas never get tired of asking the question why. Now why is Krishna coming out in the middle of the churning process? Very interesting answer. Previously, during the churning of the milk ocean, that pastime, the churning of the milk ocean, do we all remember? Where we had the big humongous Mandarachala mountain, and we had Vasuki as the snake, we had the demigods on one side and the demons on the other. In that churning pastime, how many times did Krishna appear? Who can count and tell me how many times Krishna appeared? We could, as a guna avatar. How many times did Krishna appear in that churning of the milk ocean pastime? Don't have to be exact, but please explain why you're saying that number. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Kurma underneath. Okay. And then, what else? Dhanvantari, 5. And then he also has Ajita, the thousand-armed incarnation, holds the peak of the mountain so that it doesn't move. Yes? So he appears as Kurma to make sure that the mountain doesn't move in the vertical plane. And then, so that it doesn't move in the horizontal plane, he holds the peak from top. And still the churning doesn't start. So he takes the side of the demigods and starts churning. So that's the third incarnation. Then as he starts churning, the heat increases. Then 4 in the fourth incarnation, he starts showering rain. Then five, as the churning process begins, the poison comes out. So as Lord Shiva, he drinks the poison. Then six, as Dhanvantari, he gets the herbs out. And as seven, as Mohini Murthy, he brings the nectar pot out. So in the previous churning, so in this churning pastime, once there has been churning, and the Supreme Lord appears seven times. So the Acharyas are saying, Krishna remembered, and he had to keep up to his reputation. Mother Yashoda had started churning now. And he thought, previously when the devotees there churned, I appeared seven times. So now that this devotee is churning, I must appear at least once. So therefore he gave up his sleep and he appeared there. It's so beautiful. Because Krishna, who's sleeping inside, represents the Yoga Nidra of Mahavishnu, the sleeping Lord. And just like in that pastime of the churning, from the sleeping Lord, he manifested seven times. In this pastime, from the sleeping Lord in his bedroom, he had to appear at least once to keep his reputation of appearing whenever and wherever there is churning. Is this clear? So this is why Krishna comes there. It's a very juicy meaning. So this is one. Now, second reason why Krishna comes there, Krishna comes there searching out for his devotee. The lesson for us is, if we wake up in Brahma Muhurta like Mother Yashoda did, and if we chant our rounds like she is working out, you see, Mother Yashoda is using her thought, word and deed in the early morning time of the day. If we do that sincerely, even if we are all by ourselves, and even if all the lights are switched off, meaning nobody's observing us. Nobody's observing us, we are all by ourselves. If we wake up in Brahma Muhurta and if we perform devotional service exactly as Mother Yashoda is doing in this context, then the Supreme Lord comes to climb onto the lap of this devotee. So this is so hope-giving. Now the question asked is, what is so special about Brahma Muhurta? Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the Siksha Guru of Satchitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says a very beautiful thing. He says that between 3 and 7 in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walks around personally to give ecstatic love of Godhead. And he says that if you're sleeping during that time, we miss the opportunity of getting pure love from the most merciful incarnation, that is Satchinandan Gaura Hari. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj says, if during that time from 3 to 7, if we execute devotional service and we engage ourselves in chanting and hearing the names of Krishna, then the probability of we receiving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of love of Godhead increases. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, very like a genius, he instituted the morning program where we wake up early in the morning and we engage our senses in the activities, the variety of the morning program. We bow down to Sri Guru in gratitude. We pray to Prahlad Narasimhadev for protection of our devotional life. We circumambulate and we worship Tulsi for protecting our spiritual life and nourishing our spiritual life. We remember the Sikshashtaka prayers, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We chant the 10 offenses to be avoided during the chanting of the holy names. Then we chant our japa in the association of devotees. Then we worship Sri Guru. We greet the deities. We hear Bhagavatam class. Then we have prasadam. So we're just making sure that we are awake and attentive during the morning program. So it's very inspiring yesterday when Prabhu's example was pointed out, that when one Mangal Arati who was under scrutiny, so Prabhu said, I wish I am not kicked out of the temple. And I've seen this trend, this very wonderful observation among all the senior and practicing disciples of Srila Prabhupada, that the adherence to the morning program, the dedication to Srila Prabhupada's teachings of the regulative principles of chanting of our japa, of waking up early in the morning, even if it's very cold in Chicago, it's so clearly seen everywhere. And it's the responsibility for all of us as the next generation to carry that intensity and not lose the focus, and to carry on with that intensity of waking up early in the morning and doing it. So Mother Yashoda, being the mother of the Supreme Lord, does it, and she gets the Supreme Lord. So that's a very good proof that the one who wakes up early in the morning and sweats his way out, dancing in the kirtan, it doesn't have to be churning a butter pot. It has to be dancing in the Mangalarti kirtan or chanting intensely and crying out for the Lord. Then Krishna comes out, giving up his sleep to find that devotee. So this is the very beautiful point. Shripad Hari Suri also says a very beautiful thing here. He says, Mother Yashoda is engaging in the activity of this world. So necessarily it's not directly devotional service. She is milking the cows. She is churning. For us it is devotional service because we understand she is doing it for Krishna's pleasure, who is God. But for Mother Yashoda, she is just doing it for her child. So it's not necessarily devotion for her. So Shripad Hari Suri here, he's saying that even if one is engaged in worldly activities, could be churning, it could be milking, and amidst that worldly activity, if one continues chanting and singing the names of Krishna, then Krishna will come out for that devotee. We don't have to worry. Sometimes as grihasthas, we may worry that I'm absorbed in so many worldly activities. I have to work a full-time job, I have to pay my bills, I have to take care of my children, I have to drop them to school, I have to take care of my spouse, I have to do so many other activities. So this point is hope-giving for us. Even amidst our daily activities, if we continue chanting and hearing, we are driving, we are hearing a class. We have some time out at our workplace, we chant a couple of rounds. We are walking down the aisle, we chant some rounds. Or we engage constantly. We sing some verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So externally, we may be going out to Walmart or in the grocery store, or we may be going to a pharmacy store externally. But if our tongue is absorbed singing verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, verses of Bhagavad Gita, Sikshashtaka prayers, or chanting the holy name, bhajans of Bhaktivinod Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, then even if externally we are in this world, Krishna will come searching out for us because we are engaging our tongue. So this is also very hope-giving. So this is the second aspect of the discussion. And finally, the third aspect. Krishna, after coming out, what does he do? He holds the rod. He is holding on to the rod. Now, this holding on to the rod has a couple of lessons. What is Krishna teaching us? Now, his love for Mother Yashoda is indeed noteworthy in this pastime. Because in the Damodar Leela, by the love of Mother Yashoda, Krishna breaks all his rules. He who is self-satisfied desires breast milk. He who is beyond the modes of material nature gets angry. He who is the Supreme Lord, whom even death fears and runs away, that Supreme Lord is running away in fear. He who gives liberation to others and cuts the knots of their bondage is himself bound up. And he starts crying for his liberation from the wooden grinding mortar. He who is always satisfied desires the milk, and when he's put aside, he wants more milk. So all of Krishna's natural attributes of transcendental qualities, Krishna is breaking all those rules because of his love for Mother Yashoda. Krishna is considered to be very calm and composed. Shantakaram bhujakashayanam padmanabham suresham. It's described that Krishna, Mahavishnu, is very calm and composed. When Bhrigu Muni came and kicked him on the chest, he was equipoised. But when Mother Yashoda put him down, he starts getting angry. This is his love for his mother. He breaks all his rules. He breaks all his rules. And it doesn't end there. My favorite of the list is this one that's coming up. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes a very loud, bold proclamation. Sarvato paanipadaustad sarvatokshi shiromukham. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvato Pani, my hands are everywhere. And Padav, my legs are everywhere. Sarvato Akshi, my eyes are everywhere. Shiro Mukham, and my face is pointing in all directions. Now this is Bhagavad Gita, correct? Krishna says, my hands are everywhere, my legs are everywhere. My eyes are everywhere and my face is pointing in all directions. This is Krishna's words. But unfortunately, the love of Mother Yashoda made Krishna break his own words. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says, Pratigya bhanga hoila gopira bhajane. By the love of the gopis, Krishna had to break his own word. How? How is Krishna breaking his own word? Interesting, in the Damodar Leela, when Mother Yashoda takes a whipping stick and runs behind Krishna, Krishna, out of fear, is looking in all directions except one direction, behind. He's so afraid that he cannot muster the courage to look behind to see where his mother is, because Krishna fears if he looks behind, that would reduce his speed of running away from his mother and he would be caught sooner or later. So let me not just look behind, let me not see where my mother is, let me just keep running ahead. So in the Damodar Leela, Krishna is looking, his face is in all directions except the direction behind. So in the Gita, Krishna is making a bold statement that my face is pointing towards all directions. But the love of Mother Yashoda is so high that it makes Krishna break his own words. And now he says, yes, yes, but my mother's love is so high that now I have the courage to look in all directions except behind. I can look behind because I feel she'll catch me. So this is the love of Mother Yashoda. In this pastime, Krishna breaks all his predicted qualities. This is the greatness of Mother Yashoda's love. So Krishna comes here to the scene and he holds the rod with both his hands. So the external, the direct meaning is that he doesn't want his mother to churn. He tells his mother, give up this churning, you just pamper me, you just feed me, you just love me, you just spend your time with me. I have given up my sleep for you. Can't you give up this rod for me? Can't you do this for me? And he comes and holds the rod and he's pulling it towards him. He's 3 years old. And Mother Yashoda smiles. So the acharyas are explaining, what is the meaning here? What is Krishna trying to explain? So please read the verse. There's a very beautiful verse in the commentary. Please kindly chant after me.
Mai prite nabhi karma ujjitepi krutantaja yato danda darosmyasmin aham mevetya bodayat.
So what is the lesson that Krishna is teaching by holding on to the rod? He is telling Mother Yashoda two things. There are two lessons, two messages that Krishna is giving all of us through Mother Yashoda. First, the process of studying the Shastra is also called manthanam, which means to churn. When someone studies the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Samhitas, the Itihasas, and all the different streams of knowledge, that is also called churning. But what is the essence, what is the aim of all the churning of the scriptures? It is to find Krishna in our life. And once that we have found Krishna in our life, there is no more need to churn the scriptures. Is this clear? Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So if someone is studying the Vedas, the four Vedas, the 108 Upanishads, the 18 Puranas, the histories like Mahabharata and Ramayana, and if they don't come to the point of approaching Krishna with love, they're wasting their time. But interestingly, if they find Krishna as the conclusion of all the scriptures, then there is no more need of further churning. Now you simply have to serve him. Is this clear? You read Samaveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda, Rigveda, the 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, and if you come to the conclusion of finding Krishna as the essence of everything, then give up the churning process of the scripture and just serve him. So Krishna is giving this message to all the readers of the Bhagavatam. Look, my mother is busy churning the scriptures to find me, and now that she has found me, if she continues churning forever I am giving this message, there is no more churning needed. You just found me, now you just serve me. You love me. So, is this clear? So, the process of churning represents the process of churning the scriptures. If we continue churning the scriptures again and again with a lot of data and information in our head, but if we don't serve that Krishna physically, Krishna is not approving this process. He says, you study the scriptures, you churn through the verses, no problem. But now that you have understood that I am the essence, you keep all the churning process aside and you just serve me. That's enough. You love me. You give me your breast milk. That's all. So to make this point, he holds onto the rod and he says, Mother, enough. How much more would you churn the scriptures now that you found my personal feature? Very interesting point. For all those who say God is formless, look, Mother Yashoda is churning through the scriptures not to find an impersonal Krishna. She's finding a personality. So another lesson here is the essence of all the churning of the scriptures is to come to the point that Krishna or God is a person and to serve Him. And once you've come to that conclusion, keep away the churning of unnecessary scriptures. Just study the Bhakti Shastra, the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita and serve Krishna. No need of researching into other streams of Vedas. Is this clear? So this is the first lesson. He's holding on to the rod to tell the whole world that unnecessary churning of scriptures is not needed. You churn till the time you're not convinced that I am God. Once you're convinced, just serve me. Oh Mother, just give me your breast milk. And the reference for this is
Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adau Ante Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate.
Vede, in the four Vedas, Ramayane, in the Ramayana, Purane, in the 18 Puranas, Bharate, in the Mahabharat, in all the four, the Vedas, the Puranas, the Ramayana and the Mahabharat, in the beginning, middle and end, there's only one topic, and that is Hari. And because that Hari has appeared as the end of the churning, that's another reason why the word used for Krishna here is Hari. He who is the essence of all scriptures, He appeared during the process of the churning of the scriptures, the yogurt-like scriptures. So the butter pot represents the Shastra. The butter inside, or the yogurt inside, represents the verses. The rod represents our mind. So our mind is going through the verses of the pot of the scriptures. And if we find the Supreme Lord, just serve Him. No more data collection needed. This is one. And the final message of holding the rod, the final message for today, out of the holding of the rod pastime, is that Krishna is telling us the immortal message of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami mashucha. Then abandon all kinds of variety of different kinds of occupational duties and just surrender unto me. I will protect you from all the incurred sin of past, present and future, and please do not worry about it. So Mother Yashoda is performing a worldly activity externally. So the message here, it's very beautiful. This is the final point for today's class. Mother Yashoda is performing a worldly activity. She's doing a worldly activity for herself. For us, it's transcendental. But for she's just milking and getting the yogurt and the butter and giving it to her child. So if one has developed pure love for Krishna, then one can give up all the worldly activities of this world. This is the message that Krishna is giving. Mother Yashoda has developed love for Krishna, but she's still performing the worldly duties of this world, the occupational duties of a Vaishya, to take care of the cows and milk the cows and so on and so forth. So Krishna is coming and holding the rod. Now the holding of the rod is very, very instructive. When anyone gives up their prescribed duty without having love for Krishna, then it becomes sinful. Then it's simply irresponsibility. And Yamaraj comes with a rod of punishment. It's called Yamadanda. Yamaraj comes with a rod to punish someone who gives up his duties prematurely. But herein Krishna is giving the world a message that if someone like Mother Yashoda has developed high class love for me, then they can give up all activities of this world. And they don't have to worry about the rod of Yamaraj, the rod of punishment, because I personally hold the rod for them. Yamaraj, generally who holds the rod of punishment, I take the rod from his hand and I protect the devotee from the punishment rod of Yamaraj. So to explain this point, he is holding the churning rod herein. Is this clear? Is it getting a little technical? Is it clear? So Krishna is giving this proclamation, this message around that, oh mother, you have developed so much love for me, then why don't you give up all your activities? Sarva dharman parityajya, give up all this churning. Then Mother Yashoda is thinking, if I give up my worldly duties, Yamaraj will come behind me with the rod of punishment. Krishna is holding the rod to say, don't worry, oh mother, I take the rod from his hand and I punish him if he comes behind my devotee. So you don't worry about it. But if someone prematurely, without having any attachment for Krishna, gives up their worldly duties, then it incurs sin. Yamaraj comes with the rod of punishment. But someone like Srila Prabhupada, who has developed pure love for Krishna, gives up all his pharmaceutical industry in this world, gives up his family, gives up all his duties in this world, and crosses the ocean, Krishna holds the rod for him. In the sense that, oh Srila Prabhupada, please don't worry about giving up anything in this world. Don't worry about any sin or any offense that would be incurred by the punishment rod of Yamaraj. You have developed pure love for me. You don't worry about any churning in this world. I will personally hold the rod of reward in my hand to give this message. So two messages by holding the rod. One, Krishna is stopping the unnecessary churning of the scriptures once we have found him in our life. And second, Krishna says, if we develop pure love for him, we can give up all the churning of worldly activities and he will personally hold the rod of reward in our hand, in our life. Because the rod represents the punishment rod of Yamaraj. One doesn't have to worry Yamaraj, because Krishna will personally take charge of that rod and will reward that devotee. So in this way, so much nectar is there in this one verse. And I have been also told to speak about the next verse. So I will just briefly obey that instruction. That will take another 1 hour and I don't have so much time. So you see, Srimad Bhagavatam, every verse is like a rasgulla. It's so tasty. It's so juicy. So in this one verse, you see, text 4. Now if I read the translation. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, one. So we discussed why she was churning butter. She's giving us the lesson of the rope. Guna, the modes. Then Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of mother of her breast, appeared before her. So then we discussed why Krishna appeared. He gives us this principle that whenever there is churning, he appears. And previously he appeared in seven forms. And now to keep his reputation, he's appearing. And at the same time, he's giving us the lesson when the devotee toils in Brahma Muhurta, even if he's all by himself, without any lights, spotlights on him, still Krishna appears for that devotee. And then the third, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. So that also has two meanings. One, telling the whole world, churning represents the unnecessary churning of the scriptures. Well, this shouldn't be misunderstood as to there is no need to read the books or the Shastra. We haven't found Krishna in our life. We haven't seen him face to face. Therefore, we must study Srila Prabhupada's books. We must study Bhagavad Gita. We must study Bhagavatam. We must study Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when that day comes, when we see Krishna face to face, we can keep all the books aside and just serve him in love. So this is the first lesson. Till the time you don't see Krishna, continue churning the scripture. And second, Krishna is telling that if you develop love for me like Mother Yashoda, give up all worldly activities of churning. Don't worry about the punishment rod of Yamaraj. I personally hold that rod of reward in my life. So Krishna's holding. Now what's happening in text 5 is that Krishna jumps onto Mother Yashoda's lap and starts affectionately drinking her breast milk. So it's interesting that in text 5, well, it's so beautiful. I don't feel I don't feel it's fair that I'm not able to speak on all aspects of the verse. But still, I'll speak on a few standout points. First and foremost, it's described that Mother Yashoda was looking at the face of the Supreme Lord, and she was smiling and Krishna was smiling. So what's happening here? Krishna jumps onto Mother Yashoda's lap, and then Mother Yashoda starts breastfeeding Krishna. Interestingly, as Krishna puts his lips to Mother Yashoda's breast, he is not even sucking Mother Yashoda's breast. The milk is just flowing on its own out of her love. So Krishna has a smile, because he thinks to himself, Mother Yashoda loves me so much. She loves me so much that the milk is just coming out. It's just manifesting on its own accord to enter my mouth. And Krishna's smiling, thinking of Mother Yashoda's love for him. And as Krishna is smiling, Mother Yashoda looks at her baby. And she's looking at her Krishna smiling. And when she sees her Krishna smiling, she smiles. And she thinks, oh, my child, my Krishna. If I don't feed him, he would be malnutritioned. Where would he go for his nutrition and for his nourishment? She has so much mamata, so much possessiveness, that Krishna who feeds the whole creation, Mother Yashoda feels that if she doesn't feed him her breast milk, he would become thin. So out of her affection for Krishna, as she is feeding Krishna, she starts smiling. And in her happiness, her milk becomes, her love increases. And as her love increases, her milk becomes sweeter. And as her milk becomes sweeter, Krishna's tasting that sweetness and his smile becomes wider. And as his smile becomes wider, Mother Yashoda's perception of Krishna's smile increases. And as she smiles and as her happiness increases, her milk becomes sweeter because of her heightened love. And as her milk becomes sweeter, Krishna's tasting that sweetness and his smile becomes wider. And as Krishna's smile becomes wider, Mother Yashoda's smile becomes wider. As her happiness heightens, her love heightens, her milk becomes sweeter, Krishna's smile starts becoming wider. And this is inconceivable competition of mutual affectionate loving service, where the Supreme Lord is smiling to keep his devotee happy, and the devotee is smiling seeing the face of the Supreme Lord. So this is one. And at that time, she sees that the milk is overboiling on the milk pan, on the stove. And at that time, she puts Krishna down to attend that milk. Now, as far as attending the milk is concerned, I'm pretty sure the devotee tomorrow would speak, because the context is Krishna is getting angry. So it's almost impossible to speak about Krishna's anger without explaining why he got angry. So that would be for tomorrow. But the concluding point that's raised by the acharyas is, Mother Yashoda put Krishna down, correct? And she ran towards the milk. The question is, why didn't she take Krishna with her to put the milk down? Why did she put Krishna down? In this pastime, it's very beautiful. Why did she put Krishna down to go and save the milk? Why not take Krishna together on the process of putting the milk down? There are many reasons that the acharyas are giving. One, they explain that the mother Yashoda's heart cannot even imagine taking tender baby Krishna close to the fire. She feels that it's impossible that I will take tender Krishna close to the fire. What if in the process of taking the milk down, Krishna goes close to the fire? It's not correct. And Krishna was a very naughty boy. What if he puts his hand into fire? So better I not take him. This is one reason. Second reason, if I take Krishna with me, Mother Yashoda thinks Krishna is getting heavier with time. As he's growing 1 year after another, Krishna has become very heavy. So because of that, my speed would reduce and I would lose more milk. And this means I am playing on the trust of all the Padma Gandha cows, who out of their love and confidence have given me their milk. So I shouldn't reduce my speed by keeping Krishna with me. I must just run right away. So this was another reason why she didn't take Krishna with her. Third reason why she didn't take Krishna with her was because if she takes Krishna with her, she has to hold Krishna in one hand, and it's very difficult to take the milk out. And it's very heavy because there's gallons and gallons of milk. So she thought it's better to use her complete strength to take the milk down of the stove. And fourth reason, very beautiful, very instructive for us. Whenever a devotee is in distress, now you see the milk is also a devotee, everything is animate in the spiritual world, and fire represents distress. Whenever a devotee is in distress, to reduce the distress of that devotee, even if it means giving up the service of Krishna, go for it. Pick the service of the Vaishnavas over the service of Krishna. Krishna is more happy if you do that. So Mother Yashoda is teaching all of us this principle, that given a choice, even if it means putting a stop to serving Krishna and going to save a devotee from the fire of distress, no problem. There is no offense here. So in this way, there are many beautiful interpretations as to why Mother Yashoda ran without Krishna. And there's one final. I'll say that and then I'll... I can't stop. I can't stop. So just one last. The question asked is, okay, Mother Yashoda didn't take Krishna with her. She could have kept Krishna on a raised platform. She could have given Krishna to another Mataji or Prabhuji, or she could have kept Krishna somewhere. Why did Mother Yashoda put Krishna on the floor, on the ground? So this is the final question for today, and then we will wrap up the class. So because I was instructed to speak on this verse, so I must obey and speak and try my best to highlight a few points. So why did Mother Yashoda put Krishna? So we know that Mother Yashoda didn't take Krishna with her. So why did she decide to put Krishna on the floor? On Mother Earth? Why not anywhere else? There are three reasons why. One, Mother Yashoda thought to herself, managing babies like Krishna who's naughty is only the duty of another mother. And Mother Earth is one of the seven mothers. So Mother Yashoda thought to herself, early in the morning, I don't see any other mother around. I don't see the gopis there resting. I don't see Mother Cow, who's also another mother. If she was around, Mother Yashoda would have probably put Krishna on under the cow or on, above the cow, because she's also a mother. So out of the seven mothers that are available, the only mother that was there with Mother Yashoda was Mother Earth. So Mother Yashoda thought, I must give Krishna to another mother to take care of. Second reason, Krishna was getting so heavy, day by day heavier with all the butter and the sweets that he was eating. He was just getting plumpier and plumper and plumpier and plumpier and plumpier, completely hefty. And he would take all these baby steps and baby talk and baby walk. Mother Yashoda thought, I must give it to another mother who has experience of carrying heavy things on her back. And we know Mother Earth qualifies even for this condition because she carries the heavy mountains on her back. So Mother Yashoda thought, one, she is a mother. Two, she has experience of carrying mountains on her back. So I can as well give the mountain Krishna on her back. It's not going to increase her weight. And three, and the most beautiful reason, Mother Yashoda in her past life was a devotee by the name Dhara. This is in the Bhagavatam. Dhara, that was Mother Yashoda's another name from past life. And Dhara also happens to be Mother Earth's another name. So Mother Yashoda thought to herself, three wonderful similarities. One, she shares the same name. So no one would say that Mother Yashoda didn't take care of Krishna. It would be that before the milk overboiled, one Dhara was taking care of Krishna. That is Mother Yashoda. And after the milk overboiled, another Dhara took care of Krishna. That's Mother Earth. That's one. Second, it was from one mother to another. And three, Mother Earth has the experience of carrying mountains on her back, and therefore she can handle Krishna's weight. And thinking of these three reasons very quickly, Mother Yashoda, in her intelligence and her ecstatic love, not just left Krishna behind and went all by herself, but also kept Krishna at the right place. So this also gives us the lesson that if we prioritize serving Vaishnavas, as Mother Yashoda did, then service to Krishna also falls in place perfectly. And it's Krishna, as Prabhupada very beautifully quotes in the purport to the fifth chapter, the fifth verse, that it is Krishna who inspires from within. If we are constantly absorbed, it is Krishna who inspires what service to give up and what service to pick. So he inspired Mother Yashoda to give up his service and to take to the service of saving that devotee. That is the sentient, animate, transcendental milk boiling in the austerity fire under the milk pot. So with these points, it's way over time. So I want to stop here. And it was certainly my pleasure, honor, and supreme privilege to be here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori, serving all the Vaishnavas for 2 days, yesterday and today. I have to take a flight, so I have to really quickly take prasadam and head out to the airport. But I just want to say that if there was anything satisfying, pleasurable in these 2 days in the service of Krishna Katha, it is certainly the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, my revered spiritual master, His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, starting from Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, who are giving us this beautiful pastime. Please kindly forgive me if I made any mistakes, if I said something that I was not supposed to, or if I said something right in the wrong time or in the wrong mood or spirit. Please kindly forgive me. And please don't forget to offer a kind prayer at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori, that I continue to serve Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis by engaging my tongue in speaking, reading, hearing and listening Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of wonderful Vaishnavas. Please don't forget to offer this kind prayer. This is the only alms that I am begging of all of you. So please don't forget to offer a prayer so that I feel protected and I continue my service. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. What is that?
I didn't know you have no salvation. You were terrible. He was wonderful.
You know what? I understood now.
To the modes. Oh, that's beautiful.
The
modes of material nature.
Thank you.
Very beautiful point.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Very beautiful.
It was a pleasure.
Certainly my pleasure.
A delight to hear you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bhavar.
I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very proud of you. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Please pray for me.
I appreciate your the most sense.
Please pray for me, because I want to speak Srimad Bhagavatam.
Really.
Please, take your hand.
No, I need your mercy, because you know, Parikit Maharaj, I don't undertake your thing. Parikit Maharaj, you know, Arjuna, Siddhartha Goswami, he was very young, but he was very young.
Hare Krishna.
All sisters are here.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice person. Please come back.